Hello and welcome to another episode of Chris and Adam's 60-minute speedrun. I'm Chris, so that must mean I am joined, as always, by the most wondrous man in the entire universe. It is Mr. Adam Parry. Hello.
Hi, good evening. Fancy meeting you here.
Yay. Hello, how are you?
I'm very okay. I'm fine. I'm well. I'm all right. I was going to say very okay, but that's faint praise, to be honest. So, yeah, no, I'm dandy. What about yourself?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm good. It feels like it wasn't that long ago when we recorded one of these shows, because we did a double header, didn't we? We did like a regular show, and then we did a bit of DLC, if you like, which ended up being like, essentially, it was like two-hour show, but we kind of split it into two parts.
Yeah,
well, so that we didn't break our rule.
We didn't expect it, did we? We thought, oh, 20 minutes. 20 minutes will do, and then it didn't. It didn't pan out that way. So, So, I've just realised when I said dandy, it makes me sound. Am I sounding genuine? I don't know. Do I sound trustworthy?
I don't know. Do people say dandy anymore? Are you finding dandy? Is dandy a thing? I remember a video or a computer game called Dandy, which on the Spectrum, which was a bit of a gauntlet clone. Yeah, there was a game called Dandy.
Had nothing to do with the dandy.
No, not. I was always a Beano boy. I was never a dandy man.
Dandy man. So dandy, did the dandy comic, did that just mean fine?
Dandy, I guess it was. Well, it was Dan Dare, wasn't it? Not Dan Dare.
No, that was Eagle.
Desperate Dan, wasn't it?
Yeah, but why Dandy?
Dandy? I don't know.
Because if Dandy means fine, it was just called fine, which means, yeah, all right, okay. Or does Dandy mean good? Is Dandy more positive than fine?
Dandy is, I would say, if you're Dandy, you're happier than being fine. Fine's like just like a flat line, isn't it? Kind of, oh, I'm okay. That's I'm neither happy nor sad.
Yeah.
I'm fine. But whereas you're dandy, I think that's above average for being
Swell. Fine. Swell, like America.
Swell,
yeah.
Swell.
I could have called it swell. But then it sounds too much like cleavage in a tight top.
Anyway, we can't talk bollocks.
Oh, shit, you're right.
So we have 60 minutes, well, we've got less now, to talk about some video games. So I will kick off because on the last show, the DLC section, I started talking a little bit about Silent Hill 2, the remake, which I've since completed.
Ooh.
It did take a while, I must admit, because of one thing and another. I didn't play it as regularly as I would have liked, but I did get through it. It took me about 17 hours to complete the game, which is quite long for a game like this. And I don't remember too much about it, if I'm being perfectly honest. And it's one of those, I think I said this last time, I kind of conflate the two, Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2, because the settings are very similar and the monsters are very similar. It's a psychological horror. So I kind of, I was thinking, oh, I'm waiting for this to happen. The bit in Silent Hill 1 where you're walking around a building and you open a cabinet and a cat jumps out or something and scares the shit out of you, but that didn't happen because that was in Silent Hill 1. So
who put the cat in there? Because quite often in films that you get cats that jump out of cupboards, but they're closed. So how do these cats get in this predicament to start off with?
Well, no, having watched plenty of cat videos, that they get themselves into predicaments, don't they?
Yeah, but so how do they get themselves into a locked cupboard? And it's like saying, well, it must have been in there when the previous resident locked the cupboard. But then if it's in a horror-y abandoned building, then it means that cat's been sat in there for how long? Is it a real cat? Is it a ghost, zombie cat, ghost cat, demon cat? I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Don't know. Anyway, so I'll talk a little bit more about the story. I won't go into spoiler territory. I can't remember if I asked you this last time, so I'll ask you again. But have you played a Silent Hill game?
Yes, I rented Silent Hill 1 from Blockbuster and played it for about 45 minutes. I bought Silent Hill 2 on the PlayStation 2 with its lovely little cardboard sleeve. Played it for about an hour. And it is one of those games that I feel kind of guilty for never having actually bothered to sit down and play properly.
Right.
And I know it's now available for free on PlayStation Plus, I probably should give it a go. But 17 hours is quite long for a game like that. You usually think, what, sort of 10, 12, 13?
Yeah, that's kind of what I would have thought. Out. And by the way, if you still have that PlayStation version, I'm assuming you don't, of Silent Hill 2, boxed and with the manual.
Yes.
You can, well, if you don't actually, you can buy it from CEX for £70.
Oh, see, that's not the most expensive thing I've got.
So what is the most expensive
thing on the back of what do we call it, a retro gamer, I think, because I still own I own boxed copies on the PlayStation 2 of Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly and Fatal Frame 3 whatever the fuck it's called, and I'm sure on the back of one, you know, when you look on the back and it's like, oh, you could sell this for £500 or whatever, sure, like Fatal Frame 3 boxed on PS2 was about 160, 70 quid or something like that.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, I found it in Mega Man Games and it was about £4.50. No, it wasn't. I'll tell a lie. That was completely wrong. I found that in CEX 3 for 15 quid.
No way.
Yeah. Not CEX. Sure. What's that thing that used to exist that wasn't game? Game Station.
Game Station.
I'll get there eventually. Yeah. Fucking hell.
That, I know this is going to date this podcast as soon as I say it, but I'll say it anyway. I don't know if you watched that Japanese State of Play, the PlayStation 1, but that Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly,
yeah, being remade.
Has just been remade. Mm. So I've never played one of those games before. But
yeah, I played the second one for about 45 minutes. Notice there's a theme
here. I was
going
to say the theme.
About 45 minutes. I think I played the third one for about half an hour. Because I played the first one at a mate's house. That was our come back from the pub and play drunk game for a while.
Oh,
and okay. It scared the shit out of me, but I think that was probably the lager as well, to be fair.
Right.
Because my reactions were terrible. And yeah, the first one was just like, I can't be dealing with this. It's too scary.
Yeah. So just explain to me why you only played 45 minutes of Silent Hill 2. Was there a reason? Just because you just got bored, or you went on to something else, or you just didn't click?
I probably went on to something else, and I was a Resident Evil man, so I was probably looking for like another Resident Evil-y type game. And that got good reviews, and I played the first one and I thought, I like, you know, this is like the other big horror franchise at the time, so I bought it, played it. I don't think I was in a place where there's actual like more slightly more obscure puzzles.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Whereas like Resident Evil is pretty fucking simple, 99.9% of the time. Find key, open door, put jewels in crow statue eye sockets, which you will find because you have to find them because they're on your route while you're finding keys, that kind of thing. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas that was a little bit more, it seemed like a little bit more obscure, and I didn't have a fucking clue where I was. And it was, I don't know. Obviously, you don't know that anyway, but I don't know why. I found the map difficult, just going by building to building rather than, oh, look, there's a corridor with a floor. I know exactly where things are, sort of.
Yeah.
I never learned it, but I really probably should try it again because I think I'd probably quite like it.
Yeah, I think you possibly would. So, again, just talking about that and Resident Evil, I've always thought that Resident Evil is very much more of a B-movie sort of horror than, because it's zombies at the end of the day, isn't it? So it's, you know, it's kind of that level of horror, as opposed to this is very much more psychological in terms of its storyline. It is very quite grown up as well. I'm not going to give away sort of like plot or anything like that, but it touches on, it even gives a little warning at the start saying, you know, if the story contains issues of suicide and, you know, sexual child abuse and stuff. And so
I guarantee on the original it only says contains scenes of horror and gore, because that has covered everything.
It is very much a case of it gives you a QR code to scan if you are concerned about any of those things. So so anyway, the story is that you play a character called James Sutherland who his wife died 3 years ago, and you receive a letter supposedly from her telling you that she's still alive in Silent Hill, and you obviously go off and find her. That's your kind of the whole point, the job, you know, it's where it starts.
I mean, the man has letting go issues, I'll give him that. 3 years later, and he just gets a random letter and goes, oh, do you know what? That might be real.
Yeah, he's clearly got issues. I think that's the thing. And the voice acting is very good in it, I think. And the graphics, generally speaking, are quite good. I have seen on PlayStation Pro 5 Pro. It has apparently some performance issues in terms of the graphics and stuff like that, but I didn't really pay too much attention to that. He played well enough. There's two separate options for performance, as there is always these days, performance and resolution and whatever. So I played it on performance. So it ran pretty well. The thing, so you start off the game, you start off with a wooden, like a piece of wood with a nail in it, basically. That's your melee attack. And then you can pick up weapons. But the ammunition for the weapons is, it's one of those games where it doesn't feel like you've got a lot, but generally speaking, you have, you know. And also at key points in the game, it gives you ammunition because of a boss. So, you know, you kind of think, oh, there's a boss coming up because I've been given loads of fucking ammunition. So, you know, and your health is like a health drink or a needle, which gives you more health, that kind of thing.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I don't know what's in the needle, but, you know, you kind of inject yourself with something and it gives you a boost of energy and all that. So, yes.
I mean, who wouldn't walk around a foggy town picking up random needles and going, oh, I'm feeling a bit unwell, I'll just stab myself with this unknown fluid.
But you find it in a first aid box, so it's got to be healthy.
Oh, that's all right then, because everything else there is trustworthy.
Well, this is it. So, in terms of the tone, I think I touched on this last time, it is a very it's very claustrophobic game, and I because of the nature of the story, the graphics, the setting, the music, you do feel very confined and very claustrophobic, even when you're walking around. So the game's kind of split into different parts. So the initial part is you're walking around little bits of the town, and you can find maps, and the maps, to be fair, are quite well done, because you just press up on the D-pad, I think it is, or the touch screen, whatever, and then it brings up your map as you are holding it. It's kind of all done in real time, so you could still get attacked whilst you're holding them and looking at the map. And it, when there are things that are blocked off, it will show that it's blocked off. And also, if there are things that you need to refer back to, like you'll see him write a note on the map, which then sort of like, you know, oh, I've got to go back to this bit in this section. So it's very foggy in places, as is Silent Hill, so you know, you can't see too far into the distance, which again adds to the general tone and nature of what's in the darkness, what's there. It's a little bit like The Mist, the movie, if you've seen that. So it gives you that kind of sense of dread. And also, you can turn it off, but you have a radio which crackles every time there's something around. Now, that could be a horrible monster that's got legs for arms and arms for legs, which can attack you, or a weird nurse thing which has got no face and tries to stab you in the face, or it could be a little cockroach that's on the floor. So you're never quite sure what's coming in certain areas, because it is very dark. So walking around the town and whatnot, it's fairly linear, and this is kind of what surprised me a little bit, I suppose, that about it, I spent 17 odd hours playing the game. Apparently, they have added some extra content. The people that have made it, is it Blooper Team who did the, you know, those Layers of Fear games and all that sort of stuff. And they do that new one as well, which has just come out.
Kronos,
which hasn't had a great reviews from what I've read, but you know, it still looks intriguing.
Their games don't genuinely review amazingly, do they? But I think Silent Hill 2 is probably their best reviewed game.
Yeah. So it's you go and you're walking around the town, and one of the things, if you do play the game, I guarantee, and for anybody who's listening who's played the game, because like you've got your melee sort of weapon, you can find cars and windows, and you can smash the windows to get to stuff in the car. So I guarantee, whether you need to or not, you will end up smashing lots of windows. And there is even a trophy for smashing lots of windows. So it's just the noise it makes. And because it's a bit, you know, naughty and antisocial. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to smash this car's window because it's quite fun. Anyway, so, but then you go into separate locations. So once you've done the stuff in the streets, you then go into a location such as an apartment, which generally, and will have three floors, and some of it's locked off and some of it isn't. And like you said, there will be puzzles that you need to solve and things that you need to do to be able to open up certain sections of the the area. And because it's quite dark, you have a torch, of, you know, but again, it doesn't illuminate that much. But it, again, it's very claustrophobic. And it, so that's all fine. But I did find that I, particularly in some of the areas like the apartments, I got a little bit lost because I wasn't playing it as regularly as I'd have liked. And because I was like, shit, I need to go and have a look over here. I can't get to that bit. So why kind of... And then you kind of feel like you're fumbling around a little bit. And then this is like the sort of sense of like, I don't know where I'm going. Have I missed something? Have I missed something obvious? You know, and then I'll wander around for a little bit longer and then it'll like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot to do that or I need to do this. So then you'll go through an apartment and then that's it. And then you'll go back to the streets and then you'll make your way to another section and then that'll be like a hospital. And that'll be the same thing. There'll be like a basement, a first and a second floor. And you'll do the same things again and you'll go through those areas and then you'll unlock another bit of the street and then you'll go into something else and then you'll go to a prison and then repeat and then you'll go to a hotel. And so what I found was towards the end of the game, and I enjoyed it to a certain degree. I say enjoy, I use that word loosely because of, you know, you do feel on edge playing it. It is a very sort of nervy game. It's not a pleasurable game to play because again it's the general content, the tone, the sort of atmosphere. In fact, like Kay was in the kitchen doing something else, and because I'd got the speakers playing, and like there was a dialogue, you know, section going on, and it was again referring to somebody like killing themselves or wanting to kill themselves, and she even like put her head around the door and was like, "What the fuck are you playing?" You know, so it's a very sort of, I suppose, adult game in that respect.
Yeah.
So. What I did find, though, towards the end was I just kind of wanted it to be done. Like, I almost kind of felt like I'd had enough at that point, possibly partly because of the tone and atmosphere of the game, but also because it felt like I was doing a lot of the same stuff over again. You know, you can argue that although they're different locations, as, like, say, an apartment and a hospital and a hotel, they all kind of have that similar feeling to them. Like, there's floors and rooms, some are accessible, some aren't accessible, and so you have to figure out these puzzles. So it just kind of feels like you, although it's a slightly different setting, you're doing the same things like repeatedly. So it kind of went from being a 9 out of 10 game initially to like it just sort of dwindled down to an 8 out of 10, and then I'm sort of hovering between 7 and 8. I would possibly say, if I was giving it a score, I'd say it's a 7 out of 10. It's a good game. I enjoyed it for the most part, but it just felt like it went on for a bit too long, and the settings just felt a little bit sort of samey in certain sections. So, you know, but, and it's one of those games where there are multiple endings if you want to go play it again. I'm not, and I watched the other endings. I got a specific ending, and then I watched the other ending on YouTube because I thought, I'm not going to play any more of this. I'm done with it. So, whereas, apparently, the new Silent Hill game, Silent Hill F.
F. Yeah, the Japanese one, weirdly, isn't it?
That has, from what I've read, got multiple endings, but you kind of do feel compelled to want to play it to uncover those endings. Yeah. And I am tempted by that, but again, I'm not going to... Based on my experience of, I bought Silent Hill 2 last year, and then it's part of premium... So I'm like, I'm not going to do that again. I am, because I'm in no desperate need to play Silent Hill F, so I will happily wait for a year if it does appear on Plus at some point. So
that's kind of my thoughts on that one. It looks all right, but yeah, I don't want to spend 55 quid on it or whatever, or 59 quid. I'm happy if it turns up, cool. If it doesn't, then maybe I'll pick it up further down the line. But probably by then, it will turn up, I would have thought, at some point.
I would have thought so. So, yeah, overall, generally quite good, but not perfect. You know, well, apparently Silent Hill 1 is being remade. It's weird that they've done Silent Hill 2 and then going back to do Silent Hill 1.
Silent Hill's a weird series, isn't it? Because Silent Hill 1, never been remade, kind of... it's not forgotten, but everyone likes Silent Hill 2.
Yeah.
Some people like Silent Hill 3, but bemoan the fact that you got more guns in it. So I suppose like went like the Resident Evil 3 route in that respect. And then was it Silent Hill The Room, which from what I've read, people seem to either love or hate, but it's different. And I never played that one at all. I've also played about half an hour, 45 minutes of Silent Hill 3. You'd be surprised, shocked to learn. Why do I want to play it when maybe it's just not a series for me? I don't know. But I've never played number four. Mm. And then because I've never played it, I want to play it. So I'd like them to do that at some point because it just seems a bit, seems like the weird, odd middle child of the series. I know there there was other ones on the Wii or whatever. Something about Silent Hill Downpour or something. Never bothered with them, but F intrigued me a bit because the weird thing was I looked at F and thought, huh, that kind of reminds me of Fatal Frame.
Yeah.
And they remake Fatal Frame 2 and I was like, we're in a weird world now.
Yeah, I never played 3 or 4. I played a little bit of Homecoming.
That was another one that I forgot.
And then because there's been quite a few of them, I remember playing, there was that one on the Vita, Book of Memories, which wasn't a traditional Silent Hill game. I didn't play that free one either, the short message.
I was gonna say, yeah, there's a free one, weren't there, on PlayStation, and I never bothered with that either. I heard it was terrible, but I'd probably play it for a little bit because it looked like it was trying to do PT. And it apparently failed miserably, but you know, for nothing it might be worth a go.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's kind of it for Silent Hill. And I've got one more game after this, but I'm going to hand it over to you now because you've got a little bit to talk about. So go for it.
Yeah, I've got a couple of fairly quick ones. I finished Indica, which I started last time.
That was the nun game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the unpopular nun simulator. it's quite a weird game, but I don't know if it ends up quite being as weird as I wanted it to, because there's a couple of real wacky moments in it, but they're quite early on. And then it's not normal. I mean, spoilers to a point, I suppose. My description of it's going to be awful, but like I said, Indica. She's an unpopular nun. All the other nuns are bastards. She gets sent out of the convent with a letter. Put it this way, at the start of the game, I said you have to fill a bucket of water up loads of times and take it to a nun. That's after you've carried potatoes to the nuns, and then you have to fill the water bucket up 5 times to fill a bigger bucket up with water so they can eat the potatoes. When you do that, some old miserable cow comes outside and tips the bucket of water over because she says the nuns don't want to use the water because Indica got the water. They want another nun to get it who the nuns like. Mm-hmm. So then they give her this letter to deliver to someone who I can't remember. But it actually turns out the letter is saying that she's been thrown out of the nunnery. And yeah, Indica's odd because she's got the voice of the devil in her head that sort of speaks to her and tells her that she's a bit shit and sometimes warps the world around her. And you can put the world back together by praying just to go through it. But she meets a convict called Ilya who survived a train crash. Who's got a sort of a spazzy, deformed arm that's dying. When you first meet him, he shoots a couple of police people, sort of. And then you escape on some weird steam-powered bike. It might be steam-powered, I'm not entirely sure. So you play as a nun riding a bike, speaking to a criminal who's trying to shoot at this policeman running after the bike. She reminisces about her childhood, and there's 3 or 4 segments in the game where it sort of reverts like a sort of 2D pixel art type style, which tells bits of her background that her dad used to fix bikes and they used to race them, like pedal bikes, push bikes, if you want to call them that. But she lost a bike because she got duped by a ne'er-do-well in a red shirt. But then she kind of falls in love with him, but she's been betrothed to another fella by her dad. But then he catches them trying to run away and he shotguns the fella to death. Then she ends up in a convent when she's older. All the nuns hate her. The devil speaks to her. She's with this withered armed man. She wants to deliver a letter. He wants to go to the Damascus Cathedral to go and pray at some holy thing at an event, which I can't remember the name of, to see if he can get his arm sorted out by God. Things go awry. It gets a bit weird and creepy at the end. She either speaking with the devil or thinks she's a demon. But it ends with her walking out of a pawn shop and then it stops.
Porn as in places that you sell and buy things?
Yes, or she wasn't buying a dildo. But yeah, the last 2 minutes of the game, because you kind of separate, there's a bit of will they, won't they about her and Ilya. I think you see a nipple at one point, which is kind of unusual.
Ooh.
Rarity for a game. But it's like, ooh, will she, you know, get it on with him? The devil's telling her that, you know, she likes Ilya, you know, and he knows what she does when she's alone in her room.
Hold on,
I have to undo my flies here. But spoilers, that doesn't happen. The last time you see him, he's got drunk because he's stolen this thing from the church because he couldn't sort his arm out because his arm fell off and he was trying to stick it back onto his stump and it doesn't work because God's not listening. But he ends up getting pissed and he trades it for a trombone at a pawn shop.
What, his arm?
Obviously. No, the holy relic that he stole.
Oh, I thought he traded his arm in?
Yeah, he trades it for a trombone because he can't play guitar anymore.
Right.
Because he's only got one arm.
How can he play trombone?
I don't know. It doesn't really go... I mean, probably bugle would have been about his limit, to be honest.
Yeah.
But never mind. He bought a trombone. Well, he's drunk, isn't he? Idiot. But yeah, he's drunk with a trombone. You go in the pawn shop. You get your thing back. You think you're a demon. Then you realise you're not a demon. Then you walk out and it's finished.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I have no idea how I feel about it. I think I sort of enjoyed it. When it was wacky, but I don't know if it was wacky enough. But I haven't played many games where I'm playing as a nun, walking through a giant Russian fish factory where there's giant fish that don't exist that would be about 60 foot long being smoked inside a giant smoking machine. And I'm having to climb over giant tins of fish that are about 12 foot, like a tin of tuna, but it's like 12 foot by 4 foot.
Mm.
In a giant way. I don't know what's real, what's not real. I thought it was a simple tale about a nun who people hate. And it turns out she may or may not be the devil or be speaking to the devil. She could be a demon. She might not be a demon. She might just be unlucky. She might just be mad. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, weird. It's not a long game. It's only about, 3.5 hours or so.
All right, okay.
So you ever think, what's the life of a nun like who's weird? Give it a whirl.
How much was this game?
It was free. It was in my library because of PlayStation Plus.
Oh, that's not too bad then, I suppose. Oh.
No, I don't mind a freebie.
What kind of gameplay was it? Like
gameplay?
I mean, in as much as what kind of game? It's not a graphic adventure or anything. Is it a walking simulator? Are there things to do? Can you die? I mean, yeah, what kind of game is it?
I think, yeah, you can die. You can fall off stuff. But it's a third-person... walky, flicky, switchy, occasional puzzle, push stuff around kind of game.
Right.
I suppose like the original Tomb Raider, but without the guns.
Okay.
And less puzzles. But there are some puzzles.
But some tits as well.
Yeah, I think there's one boob for briefly.
Okay.
But it's generally a narrative third person thing with the occasional puzzle, the occasional where the fuck do I go, the occasional why is that dog so big? The occasional, look at that fish. The occasional, I can see myself crawling out of a window through a doorway. And then you go through the doorway and you're in the room, but it's the wrong way round. And suddenly dimensions don't matter. The occasional, I'm now a 2D person trying to collect coins around a bike shop. Like Pac-Man. And then there's a little 2D platforming bit where I'm going to a roof to meet my forbidden lover. Yeah, it's a weird little mishmash. It's set in Russia. It's kind of... geographically, the world makes zero sense. There's lots of weird platforms and ledges that don't exist in real life. Buildings are all... skew-whiff would be a good term for it.
I like that. Yeah, it's a good word.
Yeah, an unusual thing. I think I enjoyed it. But when it went proper wacky, like when there's a bit where you see a small man in a white suit crawl out of a nun's mouth and run around. And I was like, that's quite early. I was like, oh, this is fucking mental. This is going to be cool. But that's the only time anything that mad happened. And I was a little bit disappointed.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, yeah. I may well try it. Who knows? We'll give it. We'll see.
It's definitely a thing. And if you think, what could this do to grab me straight away? All right, carry potatoes and fill up buckets of water.
Is it an arty farty game, like one of these kind of what I'd class as an indie movie kind of thing? It's like that kind of like it's a bit. Only the director really knows, but people, what's going on, but people love it because it's so artistic and...
It's a little bit arty-farty. It might be too arty-farty for you because you are all about shooty-shooty, bang-bang, brum-brum-brum, etc.
Sticking a chainsaw up somebody's arse, that's sort of my sort of vibe.
That's your level, yeah. Well, it's not David Lynch and it's not Michael Bay. It's somewhere...
Is it Wes Anderson or is it sort of Paul Thomas Anderson? Is it where on the scale are we, would you say, in terms of movie directors?
I don't know. Who's all right, but not as good as they think they are? But they don't. They're not shit.
I don't know.
I can't think of anyone, but it'd be a director who makes films that are good and different, but they're just not as good as he or she thinks they are.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Do you know what? He could make a film of this.
I think that's how you described him, actually. Sort of like one of the, he makes decent films or he's got decent ideas, but they're not as good as he thinks they are.
Yeah, he could make a film out of this. He could make a film about a Russian nun, a Russian weird nun.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, good call.
Very good. Cool. So,
that was my first little one. My second little one was I spent £2.49 on something called The Cabin Factory.
Okay.
Which is a first-person sort of repetitive loop-esque game, kind of PT-esque, where you play what looks like maybe like a mid-50s Japanese lady who's gone to work her first day at a place that makes cabins. And it makes cabins for horror films. So, you know, you've always got cabins in horror films.
Yeah, like Evil Dead 2, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like that. So you start off in an elevator, you look in the mirror and you go, oh, fuck, I'm a middle-aged Japanese lady. That's an unusual thing.
At least that's horrific. Ugh.
You could be 55, you could be 80, I don't know. And the premise is kind of very, very simple. It's not a long game. It took me about 45 minutes to, in air quotes, complete, but I haven't completed it. So you walk out onto the factory floor and there's a big button and you press the button and on the giant conveyor belt, a great big wooden cabin pops into, sort of slides into view. And there's two buttons, haunted, I think it's haunted or okay. It's either haunted or not haunted or okay and bad, one of the two. And you've got to guess 8 times in a row correctly whether or not this cabin's haunted. So you walk up to the cabin and the atmosphere changes and you get all the sounds of the forest, the sounds of the haunted forest going on. And you enter the cabin and it's just, there's a downstairs room. There's a painting on the wall of a stern looking lady. There's a few knickknacks lying around. Walk around the corner. There's a table which may or may not have a man frozen, sat, possibly eating, possibly not eating. There's a locked basement door. And there's some stairs leading to a room where there's like a life-sized boy doll, it's either a helmet or a towel on its head so you can't see it. And I think there's a girl something or other as well. You have to just look around and decide whether this is haunted or not haunted. And obviously things can happen or don't happen. For example, right, so you might look around upstairs and you go, there's a creepy kid there, the TV's on, and the TV's creepy. But is it haunted? I don't know. Or is it just supposed to be creepy? And you walk downstairs and you look at the man who's just sat, because he's like a model, just sat there eating his beans or whatever it is, and you go, is that normal? I don't know. And then you can look over at the stern picture. You walk up to it and go, she looks a bit evil. What's going on with her? And you sort of... You can strafe around the picture and go, right, are her eyes following me? No, they're not following me. I don't think it's haunted. Then you hear some footsteps. You're like, Ooh, is that haunted? Or is it supposed to be there? I don't know. So there's all but I got it wrong. Right, so you've got, basically you decide whether it's haunted or not haunted. You can, I don't know if you could die, but you can certainly get in trouble. You decide, you go outside, you press the yay or nay button, and it goes ding if you got it right, or if you get it wrong. Next cabin, go in there. What's going on? I walked in one, and it was full of giant stuffed crocodiles and weird oddities. I thought, that's fucking not normal, don't like that. So just walk straight back out the door again. Haunted. Wrong. It was just a cabin that had loads of big stuffed crocodiles in it. Walked into another one. What's going on here? I don't know. It looks fairly normal. Right. There's a fellow with his beans. Look upstairs. Where's the kid doll gone? This looks haunted. I don't know. Maybe there's just not a kid doll. I don't know. Walk downstairs. As I walk towards the table, notice fella who's sitting there eating his beans. His head's turned. He's looking at me. Oh, I don't like that. Strafe round it, and it just follows you around, slowly creaking. It's like, yeah, that's not normal. That's haunted. Go outside, haunted. Ding. Yay. Next one. And it's just loads of little scenes like that where you've got to decide whether it's haunted or not haunted. And it can freak you out because you kind of get used to what you think is normal in there. And you can walk in there and go, no. Like, sometimes I just went in there, saw something, which was like, no, haunted, and I don't want to see what actually happens if I linger around. So I just ran outside and pressed haunted and got the ding. because that's the thing. Sometimes you walk in and it's like, nah, not happening. Then sometimes you go into the basement. It's like, I don't want to go in the basement. You go into the basement. This is fucking horrible. Is it haunted? I don't know. Don't like it. Go outside. Not sure if it's haunted. Oh, fuck it. I'll go back inside again. And you might see something that makes it haunted or not haunted. So it's just this little repetitive cycle of looking around this cabin. And I got like, I mean, eventually I got to 8 dings in a row. And then there's like an after game sequence and stuff as well. I think there is a plot. The characters in the house, the children, the man and the woman, there is a plot because sometimes you seem to get dragged a little further into the world. So you can run out of the cabin and you're not necessarily in the cabin and stuff's happening. But it's only for a short amount of time. And then you see a door. So you fucking peg it towards the door. Because you're like, no. And then you're back on the factory floor again. So I think there is a little backstory there. But I got my 8 dings, rolled credits, got the extra bit at the end. It starts you off again. And then when you're in the lift going to the cabin floor of the place, there's a little thing that said 23 left. So I suppose there's 23 scenarios I haven't seen or 23 that I've guessed wrong. I'm not entirely sure, but I'll probably go back in and give it another few whirls, see what happens if I get it down to 0, because I'm assuming there's a little bit more to it. But only 250, I can't even buy a packet of crisps for that anymore. So I had quite fun. And any game that makes me just go walk into a room and go, yeah, I'm not interested in that, because it made me jump quite a few times.
I was going to say, I've just watched a quick trailer and it looks like one of those shit you up games where, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because it just drags you in to be comfortable enough that you're convinced something isn't something, and then it may well be what you thought it wasn't. And it's just like, no, because you're never more than 15 seconds from the front door of the bloody cabin, so it's not like it's really hard to get away from. But because it's weird, small and claustrophobic, even though it's like, I'll just turn around and go out the door, sometimes you just irrationally shit yourself because something happens. So yeah, no, quite a fun little thing. I have no idea where I heard about it. I may have just seen it on an advert or somewhere on the store and probably watched it and then gone. I've just thought, oh, that's another one of the horror games that always looks all right, but it'll be shit and it's going to be about 20 quid. It's like £2.49. Fine, whatever. So yeah, not bad. Not bad, son.
Very good. Very good. Cool. Go on then. What's the your latest obsession then?
Yay. Power Wash Simulator Motherfunking 2.
Ooh.
Obviously.
This isn't a massive price game either. I had a quick look on the store. And how much was it?
$19.99. Same price as the old one.
I mean, that's not bad, is it? I mean, we talked...
It's not bad. I'm probably 40 hours in.
Shit. No way. Fucking yeah. Hell. Bloody hell. So go on. Yeah. Tell us all about your new crack then.
Well, you know, in the first game, you wash stuff.
Yeah.
Well, in this game, you wash things. So chronologically, I don't know if you're the same human or if you just own a cleaning business. essentially, it's exactly the same. Here's a dirty thing. Make it clean. Every time you clean a part of it, you get a little cash register ding, which just gets your endorphins going. And you clean it till it's 100% clean, and then you get your new levels. And every level, you get a certain amount of the way through the level because you've got a percentage that goes up. You can bring up a menu to see all the different parts of the building. You can see anything you've missed. You can either just go rogue and just try and clean the whole thing and then mop up all the bits that you missed at the end. Or you can be fastidiously twattish like I am and do like five or six things. Then check your menu. Make sure you haven't missed anything so you can always get it down to your little fucking task list that when you've got three things left to clean, it pops up on the screen, points you in the general direction so you know that you're about to get that satisfying end of level feel before you click on the next level straight away like a glutton for punishment. There are some quality of life improvements though that are very welcome. Soap. I can't remember if I spoke about soap in the previous game, that you had to buy like cleaning fluids and soap for your power washer.
Hmm.
And I used them on a big flying saucer and it was shit because I like to clean things quite tidily and in shapes and logically. And I put the soap in and it just elephant spunked this fucking soap all over the top of this flying saucer in a real haphazard way. And it cleaned some areas and didn't clean other areas. And then when I put my dirt-o vision on, I was like, well, this is not how I would have done the level at all. And I never used it again. This time, soap is free, which is very good. And it actually serves a purpose. So if you get patches where there's graffiti or rust, without the soap, you might have to go over the same area four or five times to get it clean. Now you just spunk your soap over everything and it just dissolves it all into like the easiest cleaning level of dirt. So you could say that you might say, oh, it just takes the skill out of it. No, it means when you get all those little fiddly engine-y bits on cars and machinery, you can just spunk your soap all over it and then just spray your wash everywhere and eventually it will just come off much easier. So there's less of this kind of eking 3 degrees to the left, looking at your dirt vision, finding out that you've missed a half a millimetre of grime in between two cogs. None of that anymore. So that's good. You got some extra tools. In the first game, you basically had a stool you could stand on to reach slightly higher things, ladders that you could prop up against things to reach higher places, and giant scaffolds, which you could place around a giant object, but you have to go up every floor of the scaffold to get to the top, which can be quite annoying. The scaffolds return, but this time there's an optional giant ladder on the outside of every one, so you can climb right to the top if you want. So that's a bonus.
Mm.
You've got an electric lift that you can jump on, and you can raise it up and down like a little elevatory thing to get you to certain heights to make it easier. And then you've got what would it be? Like a cleaning swing. You pick it up and you place it, and it somehow, say you've got a gigantic building to clean, you can place it at the side of a building and somehow it goes to the roof, and it's got like a swing seat that you sit on, and then you can just go up and down the side and left to right on the side of the building, just spraying as you go. It's just a nice easy way to get round big things essentially, so that's quite good. What else is new? Oh, there's some nice shine, much nicer, shinier surfaces on this. Much nicer windows when you clean it. I think some of the water effect is better than the first game. When you see it running off the stuff that you're cleaning, it's not brilliant, but it's better. You've also got a home base now as well. I don't mean like the defunct DIY chain, but like a base of operations. It's a giant building. Hard to imagine that one single cleaner would maintain such a magnificent building for their business. You got an office in there where there's all little scraps of paper, because like in the first one, there was like an overarching plot about alien or underwater alien civilization, etc. I think in this one, it involves time travel and a volcano, I think. So there's some cataclysm approaching, and no doubt I will solve the world by cleaning a volcano, I'm guessing, at the end, which would be weird. But yeah, all the little story bits that I never bothered to read, they actually pop up on a clipboard in your office, so you can go through them if you want. You can earn you earn cash by doing your jobs, and then you can buy better power washers and better nozzles and longer rods. Also, there's a floor washer now as well. Like, you know, one of those things you use to clean patios.
Mm.
Like a thing on a power washer with a big circle bit at the bottom.
Like a jet wash water around. Thing.
Yeah, but it's a big circle thing at the bottom of it, so you can do floor spaces easier. I don't like it, though. I just use regular power wash rather than that. I like the idea of it, but I find it a bit too... I don't know. Don't like it. Just my preference. But yeah, you buy all your stuff with cash, but then you get power cleaning points as well for cleaning stuff. And you spend that on different coloured overalls and different liveries for your van. And furniture for your office, which seems to have no... or your building, which has no real point to it, but there's like, I think, 5 or 6 furniture sets that you can buy. So you got it's not called charming. It's charming or quaint, something like that. Modern, retro, gothic, rustic. So you could buy sofas and chairs and tables and rugs in all those styles and place them around your thing. But if you buy them, best thing is, you buy them, and then you have to clean them before you can place them, because you buy them and they're all dirty. So you go into your cleaning zone of your office, and you get all these little miniature objects, little bonus objects to clean, and then you put them around your floor, and you go, cool. What can I do with it? Not a lot. No, never mind. You also have 4 pet cats for some reason. You can pet them because, of course, you can. They randomly appear in some levels. The gnomes are back. There's always gnomes in a level. I've never really figured out why. I think you can get achievements for putting gnomes in situations. Like, I don't know, in a chair or in a cockpit or something. I don't know why they're there, but there's always a gnome. But I think I'm about 34 levels in now. And there's some big ones. There's sort of different areas. There's like a campsite-y area where you might just get a campsite, duh. Or you might get a salvaged house, which seems to be a big, massive wooden cabin on stilts that's found a plane crash and has made art out of the plane crash as well, so you have to clean that. The fun fair's back. In the first game, you had a helter-skelter, a carousel, and a Ferris wheel. So far in this one, from what I can remember, there's a fun house, which is big because you've got all the inside bits as well. A shooting gallery and something else that I can't remember. There's downtown Muckingham, because there's the Muckingham files in the first game, where you get extra levels, which is cleaning local things. I think that contains like your houses and there's a public toilet and a few other bits and bobs. Where else is there? Oh, you get your vehicles and things like you did. So we've gone all the way from a mobility scooter all the way up to an airship, like a big blimp. So there's those to clean. I've just done a mountain rescue centre, where you start off inside a those cabin things on wires. What are they called?
Cabin things on wires.
That you got mountains in. Cable cars.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
You start off in a cable car and you have to clean the inside of the cable car. And once you clean the inside, you've got 100% inside the cable car, it opens up and the level's fucking massive. And you press your dirt vision and the whole screen's just solid orange. It's like, good God, this is going to take me hours. And then hours later, you're finished. That was quite large. We've had like skate parky type stuff. We had a skate park in the first game. We've got a outdoor rock climbing thing in this one. That was quite large. I'm currently in a mini mall inside Muckingham somewhere. So I'm cleaning inside of a mall, including all the shop fronts and everything. But I don't know how many, I have no idea how many levels are in this game, but it's, 40 hours. Oof.
And how many hours did you spend on the first game?
We don't speak about that. Well, that includes all of the DLC. Yeah. And all of the free stuff. Over 100. So I don't know how long this is going to take me. I think overall it's easier because there seems to be less surfaces that you have to go over loads, and but the soap's useful this time. So yeah, you could say it's less. I'm not going to use the word skillful, but less tedious going over real dirty things. But it is satisfying to spraying your soap everywhere at work. Yeah, it's good for someone like me who can look at a structure and go, right, I've already thought of the logical way that I'm going to clean this big outdoor gas station and playground. Yeah, so yeah, I'm trapped in again.
Nice. And
I thought I was going to just like do a level a week or whatever, but I started playing it. And they have changed the controls, which take a little bit getting used to because muscle memory. I was like, all right, hang on. Where's my spray button gone? Why can I only turn my nozzle in one direction rather than two directions now? Why does it look different on screen? So they've changed it a little bit. It took a couple of levels to get used to. Now I just play it and sit there using up what lifespan I've got left on this dreadful game.
Apparently there's 38 jobs to do.
Oh, God, I'm quite near the end.
Oh, God, what are you going to do?
Well, I've already looked. They've already got a couple of free levels this year, a couple of free packs next year, and then they start the DLC next year as well.
Oh, really? What have they got planned?
Don't know, but it's going to be licensed like the last lot.
Ooh, how exciting.
So, yeah, I didn't know where to take my character because I didn't know if it was the same character. Because I know my last character was in a relationship with Lara Croft after he cleaned her manor. But she was always away doing treasure hunting things, and he was a heroic cleaner that they used to meet up every now and then. And you know, have brunch and whatnot. But I don't know if I'm the same fella or not, because obviously she doesn't exist in the world anymore now. So maybe I am just a rogue. I'm a lone wolf with a successful business. Maybe she ditched me because she said, look, you keep cleaning these random temples. I'm going to temples to get treasure. Life would be a lot easier if they were cleaner. You could join me. And instead I've gone, I can't. I'm going to have to give you up, Lara, because Bill needs his Ferris wheel doing instead.
Oh, God. I mean, it's reviewed really well. Looking at the Metacritic, it's, you know, got really good reviews for, a game about cleaning, I guess. But it's, yeah. Are you playing it in split screen at all? Would you play with
absolutely
Rebecca?
No chance. The idea of someone cleaning a level not in the way that I want to clean the level is... It's like pissing on someone's Bible. It ain't happening. No, I look at the level and I figure out how I'm going to do it, and then it is done that way. Sometimes I'll start with ceilings, but then I look at another level and go, do you know what? It's the floor this time. Sometimes I go, it's doors and windows first.
Mm.
Just how it feels, man.
And once
I saw no reviews of this game. I just bought it because I'm an idiot.
But once you've done these 38 levels, is there anything else for you to do at this point in time until the DLC comes out?
I suppose I could platinum it, because I don't know if I'll get enough money to buy every power washer in the game and all the upgrades. If I wanted to do that, I could go on to free play and replay levels just to do things. I think there's like level specific things. Like I know on I had a look at a couple of achievements. I know on the rock climbing thing, obviously I started with the floor, and then all the outside little climbing bits and the palm trees. And then I made my way up the main mountain to the Petrodactyl at the top. But I know you get an achievement for cleaning the Petrodactyl first. So if there's little, and for some reason, I didn't ride the roller coaster on the mini roller coaster. And that's an obvious achievement if ever there was one.
Mm.
But I didn't do that. So I might revisit some levels just to get the achievements. You never know. I might platinum it. I don't know. I don't know how I didn't in the first one.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's looking at PSN trophies, they're either common or uncommon. They're not like sort of like 2%. They're sort of like, you know, 34% of people have got a particular trophy. For example, in the funhouse job, clean a rotating floor disc with the surface cleaner. Apparently that is 34%. It's uncommon, that one is.
I think it's because people don't like the rotating floor cleaner. I never thought of that. Instead, I just stood there, aimed Miss Squirt at the ground at an angle to get maximum coverage, because if you're at a lower angle, you get a greater angle of cleaning. Pointed it at the circle, and I just let the circle do its thing. Just span round into my spray and cleaned itself.
Yeah.
Like cleaning a vinyl record, essentially.
Yeah. Hatching in the bandstand job, clean the hatch last. Don't know whether you've done that.
Oh, no, because I have. Right, so I'd have to do the whole level and do... Do you know what? Because of my floor to roof cleaning on that particular level, I did all the outside first, I did the inside roof and that, then I did the floor, then I did the hatch, then I went to the roof and cleaned all of the segments of the roof to clean the statue and end up at the top of the map last. So I'd have to actually do the whole level again. Oh. Probably live with that. It's not a massive one.
I don't know how difficult this be, but this is a fairly specific one involving a certain tool, but it's complete any job using only the Prime Vista triple tip nozzle.
I don't think it'd be, that wouldn't be too bad. Yeah, I think you just pick the easiest level. I think the easiest one so far has either been the, well, it's not the smallest. I think you want the smallest one as well. So probably the mobility scooter. Although the bright purple 18-wheeled extended limousine with leopard skin roof and helicopter pad, that was one of the easier levels.
Hmm. Wow. It sounds like you're having a good time with it anyway.
I'm having something.
Do you think you'll have it finished? Well, you'll have it finished by Christmas. Well, I mean, you're nearly finished now, wouldn't you?
I'll have it finished next week.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it anyway. And for £20, that's good value for what you get.
Oh, if you're in hours per pound, you're in fucking gaga land.
Yeah.
If you're in shame versus pound, you're also pretty fucking high.
Well, very good. Well, you can give us an update about that next time. But yes. I'm just going to finish it off then, because we've got 5 minutes or so left. But I
bloody hell.
I know. You talked about this, actually, in the last episode. You completed it, Sword of the Sea, which is a PlayStation game. And now I've finished Silent Hill 2, and you know what it's like when you're trying to find a new game. I've got in mind games that I wanted to play, but I didn't want to jump straight into another big-ish game, so I thought I'd try something a little bit smaller. And I remember you talking about Sword of the Sea, and I thought, oh, I'll try that. It was between that and some other game, I can't remember. It was slightly, the other game that I was looking at was slightly longer. I am going to find that out, because it's going to annoy me. I'll have a quick look at while I'm talking. So I thought, I went with Sword of the Sea, and again, I know you said it was good, but it's sort of, you know what it's like when you're sort of not sure what to expect, and you think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. It is one of those games where I instantly, within seconds of skating or going on this surfboard dinghy, sword, it's just instantly one of those games you can just pick up and play, and it just feels good. And I mean, I'm about an hour and a bit into it, so I'm probably halfway through, to be honest with you, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, but yeah, just the feeling of being on this surfboard or skateboard or whatever you want to refer it to as. I mean, I've heard people, I think you even mentioned it's a, so I've got, you know, links to Tony Hawk type thing and whatever, but it's just, it's a nice game to play. You know, there's it reminds me a little bit of Flower, where all of the water has been taken out of the world, so you're initially like a desert area, and you're sort of like Stray, that was the game I was going to play, which has just come on PlayStation Plus, which I will play at some point, but I thought I'll try this first. But yeah, so it's a little bit of Flower, where it's like you start off in a desert world, and then you have to unlock certain things, which then releases water into the area, and then all sorts of weird shit happens, like flying whales and flying sort of fish and other things. And the object of the game is to bring back life to this sort of, I suppose, desolate place. And then there's different scenarios, different areas. So I've just come through like an ice related area, which was quite good. It looks really nice. I say it plays really well. Just the feeling of the controller as well. That you know, I think it's only when you play certain games where it's got like the haptics and everything else, like say Astrobot, where you think, oh God, this feels really good. You know, it's kind of drawing me more into the game because of all of the sort of different things that the controller does. But this is another one of those where you're skiing down a hill, and it's just, yeah, the controller just feels nice. It feels nice on all the different surfaces that you go on. And then the sounds that come from the controller itself, that plays a big part in the game. It's not a game, I asked you this, I think, can you die? And you can't die as such. You can fall off the side of a cliff or something, but you just instantly brought back into the game. It's a lovely game. It plays really well. It looks really nice. You know, if it's going to be like two and a half hours to finish the game, then I'm more than happy with that. It's a lovely little game, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really enjoyable.
It's one of them you pick up and you don't have to think about the controls. Sometimes that's really nice because it just happens, because it just does what you expect it to do. And I think that, yeah, it does that pretty much.
Yeah, it's really intuitive. You know, say you can do tricks and stuff, but you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want to, you can just, essentially you've got a jump button and then you've got like a double jump. And then you can pick up skills, which you can buy from a weird dude and stuff like that. But again, there's little time trials if you want to do those. I've done a couple of them, but it's more a case of just kind of like, ooh, I'm going to, I don't even know. It's obviously a sword you're on, but it's a bit, it's a hoverboard, it's a skateboard, a snowboard. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. And it's a very sort of chill zen game. I don't have to think too much about what I'm doing. It's just one I can switch my mind off, but I'm engaged in it as much as the, because it feels nice to play, and it's quite a visual looking game as well. So I couldn't, you know, if it was like a 20 hour game, I'd probably get a bit fed up with it. But if it's a, you know, few hours, then yeah, it's great. So, oh, time has just gone off. Diddly-dly.
Damn it!
Well,
I was going to wish you a challenge as well.
Oh, go on then. Do me a quick one.
Right, you know how I've talked about Alan Wake 2?
Yes.
I'm wondering, I'm thinking I want to give it one last go.
I'm up for that.
I was going to say, but we'll split it. We'll split it. Rather than saying, by next time, we've got to complete the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Why don't, I'm not saying take it well slow, but what about if we say, all right, next time, because I think we've both got semi-irritated relationship with like Remedy games.
Yeah.
Because there's just something about them, and there's something about them. What about if we get to, I don't know, end of chapter 3 or 4?
Yeah, I'm up for that. I'm definitely up for that because, you know, it's on my to playlist. So I shall start after I've finished Sword of the Sea. That'll be my next game then.
We'll say like end of chapter 3 or 4, and then we'll come back and we'll decipher what we're thinking, whether to carry on or not.
I like the sound of that. That sounds good. Cool. Excellent. All right then. Cool. Right. Well, time is up. So thank you all for listening. If you go to the website, 60mw.co.uk, you'll find all the other podcasts, all the other shows, everything else that's on there. We do quite a lot of different shows. We've got the ACLP, which is talking about music in our record collection. And then we've got our movie show, Spotlight Reflection, where we talk about films and all the other stuff that's released on there. So thank you to you, as always.
Thank you.
Hour flies by. And we will be back next time with another one of our shows. But until then, thank you very much. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. You're going to go and spray your juice over everything.
God, I probably am.
Oh, God.